John and Scotta, AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Yeah! Episode 23, part 2, coming at you from AKC Total Talk Nonsense.
With John and Scott, and I'm John.
And I'm Scott, and we have two special, very special guests. Erica,
hello.
Back for her second time, and Steve for his first time.
Hey.
He's a rookie.
Can't fight the Stever.
And John, you know, we talked about a movie. You talked about a movie at the end of part 1, and we heard nothing from Erica and Steve. The minute you shut down and we took a break, all they could do is yammer on. Yammer, yammer, yammer. Yada, yada, yada. But it was after we finished recording. What's up with that?
On their phones and everything.
Erica's on her phone for the 8th time in an hour.
That's
Steve
a
starts.
Lie.
Then it's not. Steve starts talking, blah, blah. Yeah, I saw that movie, but I didn't want to say anything on air. I'll tell you off air what I thought. I thought it sucked. I thought it was slow. There was no hot chicks. All right, then. Did you see any other movies, John?
Yeah. I did.
What else?
I saw Cheaper by the Dozen.
I can speak with this because I've seen it as well.
Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell.
The
soccer movie.
All right, with Ditka. We've already discussed that.
Yeah, I know. And Jersey Girl.
Oh, Jersey Girl. I haven't seen that.
I saw it. It's a Kevin Smith movie.
Right.
It's pretty good, man.
Ben Affleck?
Yeah, I freaking was crying.
Because you were
too.
So
I'm a big baby, man.
Emotionally?
Well, there's a little girl in there, you know, and you start thinking about your own daughter.
All right, yeah. That
He's
shit
a single
happens.
Father.
When that stuff happens on a commercial, I start blubbering. If they have a daughter component, you know, in the commercial.
Hey, do you ever blubber on the one where the guy's in the airport and his daughter's sitting right next to him and they're talking and then they pan back and he's on the PC or whatever with her?
No.
Hi, Daddy.
No.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, that.
The one that I completely break down, no matter when I see it,
wait, go
is
back.
When,
what movie is that?
No, these are commercials. Is when the guy comes home, the wife is ironing, and
yeah.
The guy comes home, and she says, "Did you get the job?" And he said, and he shakes his head, "No." Yeah, I start bawling.
What? Why do you bawl at that?
I don't know, because I imagine they have children. They have mouths to feed.
Oh.
And he didn't get the job. And he's a hard-working guy. And, you know, you and I, John, we work with frickin' morons every day that don't even deserve to not only vote in this country, they don't deserve to work in this country.
Right.
Even though they're natural-born citizens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we could spend a whole podcast talking about those a-holes, but we won't. So did you want to mention anything about Cheaper by the Dozen?
Nah.
Okay. All right, then. Steve, did you see any movies?
I saw Serenity.
And Serenity. Now, we have a rating system here on Total Talk Nonsense. We can give a movie a total of 5 Spiny Normans. That's the highest rating a movie can get. What would you rate Serenity on a scale of 1 to 5?
3.5.
3.5 Spiny Normans from Steve
on
Serenity.
For a sci-fi movie.
You want to give us a little synopsis?
And I'm a big fan of sci-fi, so.
Esco, I'm not sure what year it is.
Esco, what the hell does that mean?
I said Esco.
Let's go.
Oh, he said let's go. What did he say? Esco.
Esco? I said Esco.
What did he say?
He said let's go.
Let's go. Okay.
Wow. All right. Whatever. I'm thinking this movie is, I don't know how many years in the future, but it has to deal with the government trying to regulate people.
Oh, kind of
so
like
very,
our government.
Yeah, like right now, the Bush regime trying to regulate the folks.
Yep.
The freaking chimp.
That's so fabulous.
But good action has to do with, I don't know, it's I don't know.
You don't know? You don't know.
Intergalactic. You
know, well, that's a fabulous synopsis.
You just told me about it.
Of Serenity. Yeah, you said that there are two hot chicks.
There's two hot chicks, but I'm not
going to be
right
superstars.
To the hot chicks.
Why
but
not?
I don't even know their names.
So
I can't
what?
Remember their names.
They're potential
what fucking
hot
chicks.
Yeah. You no, know no. how like you see when you like
they're
see
potential
a Meg
superstars.
Ryan.
Right.
You see like
chicks.
A Meg Ryan and like she's playing like a nobody in a John Candy Eugene
or
Levy
like a
movie.
Top Gun movie where she yeah. plays Goose's wife.
Yeah.
Right.
You
okay.
Whoa. She catches your eye and you're like. Yeah, she's looking good. And you're like...
I mean, look
and you get a boner?
She's not, no, she's looking good. She acts okay.
And you get a boner.
She gets your attention.
And you get a boner. I got a yeah. boner when I watched Top Gun.
A burner?
A boner. And it made me want to be Goose, man.
Be Goose.
And,
what,
yeah, be
right
Goose.
Behind
until he hit his, until he hit his head in the canopy or
so
whatever.
What's the movie about?
Forget what the movie's about. I want to hear about the two hot chicks. Now, why are they hot?
Well, one is a kind of like an engineer, mechanic.
Oh, a smart hot girl.
Yes.
You don't find
and
that.
And she's good with her hands.
Too off. Oh. And how does she hot? Is because she wears sexy clothes, or is she just
she's,
you're attracted
she's
to her intelligence?
Intelligence. She was a little on the sweaty side. Cause she's down in the steam room.
Sweaty
know.
Side. So she's always
slutty. Sweaty. Oh.
I would say perspiring,
Shreddy.
But Mark from Malta corrected me on that. Women glow. So she's always glowing.
Yeah, she was glowing.
Do. They glow.
She was glowing. And
nice.
She had actually a very sweet
shut
side
up.
To her.
Shut
that was a good sweet
well,
side.
She had like a thing for the doctor.
Nice. Well, who doesn't have things for doctors? I have things for doctors.
You do?
Yeah. I had a doctor feeling my scrotum this week.
I mean, in liquor.
Is that... You had a physical then?
No, I didn't have a physical.
Oh, he just went in to have his scrotum touched by a doctor.
Ooh.
No, can you get behind me?
I went in for a...
yearly checkup?
It's a pre-screening for a surgical procedure.
Ooh.
Procedure. So I went in and we talked about it. I said, yeah, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's schedule it. All right. Yeah. Well, okay. Let me examine you first. Well, actually, he rolled his stool over and he got some gloves out. And I'm like, why is he getting gloves out? Yeah.
So he pushed in your stool?
He didn't push it in, but he got some gloves out and he slapped the gloves on. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to whip it out. All right.
Oh, no.
So I whipped it out and then he... I think he sprained his shoulder trying to lift it up. But anyway, he had to grab it and lift it up.
Break.
And then he felt for the two, and I'm not good with medical terms.
The vas deferens?
No, it's the tubes that run to your testes.
That is the vas deferens.
No, the vas deferens is what holds all the semen and it mixes the sperm in
no,
with the semen.
No, the vas. That's what
no,
they're
but there's two tubes that run from the vas deferens to the testicles. That starts with an E. And he says, oh, yeah, here they are. Oh, yeah, this should be an easy procedure. Yeah, no. Oh, see? Oh, yeah. Oh. Hey, do you always get erect this quickly in an exam? And I was like, hey, man, get off my scrotum, my hairy beanbag, my spiny Norman. But he said these things are
erection?
Like a... No, I didn't.
Oh.
Here's a PSA for all you young kids out there that have to go to physicals. Jerk off before you go to your physical, and you're guaranteed not to get an erection.
Wait
there
a
you
minute.
Go.
So why are you saying that? Because you got an erection?
Yeah. No, yeah. I didn't get
yeah,
an erection.
Yeah, you did, man.
I didn't.
You freaking boned right in his face.
No, I'm very well thought out.
You
when I was 8 years old, I come up with the strategy. Okay? Because I had to go in, and Steve knows this, because we were on sports athletic teams together. You had to get an erection. You had to get a physical every year to be on a sports team. And part of that physical was dropping your drawers so they could feel for hernias and feel your nads or whatever. So I had a couple of female doctors, and to avoid popping the boner, because, you know, in the great movie 48 Hours when Eddie Murphy says... man, my dick gets hard when the wind blows is absolutely correct for any 16 to 21-year-old man. So to avoid the embarrassment of getting an erection, whether male or female doctor, jerk off before you go. And there you have it. And if you have to explain it to your mom and dad, say, hey, Mom, I got to go take a shower before I go get my physical. I smell.
Dude,
and
when I was 16, I could jerk off every minute. Yeah. When I was 16, man, I could just go bang, 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 3-4 times in a row.
Nice.
Yeah, but a minute, like 5 minutes? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's move on then. So Steve gives Serenity
3.5
Spidey Normans, and there's two hot chicks that are going to be future stars in that movie.
Don't you have something to say?
I do.
I've been doing cock push-ups.
Fuck you!
Hey, yeah. So, I was watching some TV, too, this
TV.
Weekend, yeah. Have you seen the show on VH1 called Breaking Bonaducci?
I have, like 15 minutes of it.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought the guy was completely insane. He's on steroids and who knows what else.
It's fucking hilarious.
And his wife, the whole situation is a complete effing train wreck. But it's fabulous that it's being captured on film.
Yeah, he just freaks out. Here, let me read you a little something from this writer here, Mark Pacer. I kind of summarized it. Next week, this is from September 30th, so I missed this episode. I saw what happened after, but next week, Danny Bonaducci will try to kill himself. Not everyone will think that this is a terrible thing. Bonaducci is perhaps the most egregious.
Help him out there, Steve. What is he trying to say?
Egregious.
That's not it. Steve, can you help him out?
Ego example. It's basically ego. Most ego example of a washed-up child actor who refuses to go away. He somehow kept himself in the spotlight for 30 years since his only legitimate success, The Partridge Family, went off the air, and plenty of people think that death wouldn't be a bad way to silence the loudmouth redhead forever.
I wouldn't, because what I've seen, he was a totally obnoxious, self-absorbed, steroid, testosterone hump, if you ask me.
Yeah. For those cynics, the truly bad news is this. Bonaducci not only survives, which is often what happens when you try to off yourself using your wife's pink safety razor, but the whole affair is bound to make him semi-famous all over again, seeing how he attempts suicide while filming a VH1 reality TV show called Breaking Bonaducci. The show follows Danny and his red-headed wife, Gretchen, in their daily routines at home, at play, and most of all, in the office of Dr. Gary, their psychologist. At first, it's hard to know why Dr. Gary's office has become a major setting for the show, other than perhaps as a gimmick to tease out some tension between the couple. We get a glimpse inside a man's soul, and it's far more wounded and dark than anyone could ever imagine. Bonaducci is an alcoholic, a sex addict, a hothead, and an insanely jealous man. He's like the protagonist of a twisted FX drama. One day in therapy, Gretchen, a stay-at-home mom who sings in a band for fun, tells Danny about having her picture taken with one of the male bandmates while she was lying on the floor during a rehearsal. I almost said sex rehearsal. I don't know why. But hey, can I get some feedback here?
Yeah.
Are you sleeping?
No, not at all. I'm just checking my watch.
Oh, shit. Holy fuck. Anyway.
So what did Bonaducci do?
Well, he flips out. And the next time they're jamming, he flips out and grabs the dude and says, don't let my fucking wife lay down on someone's fucking floor and don't take pictures of it. Danny says, meanwhile the band
quote,
tries to
quote.
Play on. You never said that.
I don't have to. I do fabulous impersonations.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They all sound like Phil for some reason.
Is it impressions? No, it's impersonations. There you go. All right, then.
The audience starts to get confused. The room finally goes silent. Finally, Gretchen, who is looking more and more humiliated, walks off the stage and out the door. I guess this is during a concert he does this. Dragging her broken heart behind, within a few episodes, she's asking for a divorce. Danny responds. He reaches for her pink Bic razor.
Well, here's the deal. The guy is completely fucked up. Now, whatever, and maybe childhood fame had something to do with that, but fucking put a bullet in his head when the guy's 21. Don't allow him to procreate, because he's obviously completely fucked up. What do you think about that, Steve?
He's pretty sad.
There you go. Steve seconds my motion. Put a bullet in his head when he's 21. Yeah, he's got kids.
Yeah, one thing that makes the show great.
And their wife is messed, too. Oh, she's
bad. And it's a great show in its bleakly raw way is how real it feels. The promise that anything can happen animates reality TV, unlike scripted shows. We expect a certain train wreck quality in reality TV. Breaking down...
Get back to the train wreck.
Breaking Donna Bucci. There's the show us how the blood on the tracks first. Though to his credit, VH1 does not show Danny actually slitting his wrists. In our celebrity-addicted culture, seeing a quasi-famous person bear his warts and scars the way Bonaducci does never happens. Basically, the psychologist like calls him on it and says, "Hey, are you just doing this for the freaking cameras or what?" And Danny just basically says, "Yeah, I don't know." I don't know.
I would think so. I mean, what else is he doing it for?
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know why he would cut his wrists, man. That's pretty... he flips out pretty good, though.
The guy's insane. He's completely steroided up.
Oh, he's totally...
His balls have to be the size of peas. And you're going to get mental from that. Mental.
And his daughter asks him, "What happened to your wrists?"
And he was already mental to begin with.
And he tells her that I was fixing a window. I was taking a window out, and I shouldn't have done it, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And the window came down on my wrists and sliced them open.
Actually, that's what happened to me. And
yeah.
Steve was there. Steve,
really?
Our guest. Yeah. I was trying to open a window at my house. It was one of those old-fashioned ones where you crank it, and it's supposed to swing out. And it wasn't opening. So I took my hand to hit the frame, and I missed the frame.
Oh,
and I
God.
Shoved it right through the glass, and I cut my wrist. I still have a scar. And I cut my wrist right where somebody would cut their wrist if they were killing themselves, right? So I'm like, "Dude, man, do I need to go to the hospital or what? I don't think I need to go." And Steve was like, "Yeah, dude, you need to go. You need to go, man." "No, I don't need to go."
Oh, shit.
Steve convinced me to go.
Oh, my God. He just spilled his drink.
It was just ice. I had drank in it all.
Why do you got the table next to you right there?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. See, the one you can see right there.
So, anyway, I had to go to the doctor.
He's always talking about common sense, right?
And now, afterwards, when I met chicks, I used to say, "Yeah, I tried to kill myself once over a woman."
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was completely in love with this woman. And
that's so sweet.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I probably used it in some line, one way or another.
Nice.
Because I use what I have, man.
But use your assets. The bottom line is I'm going to start watching the show because it looks so fucking good.
I'm not. I saw 15 minutes of it, and I was like... This guy's mentally retarded.
And that's
insane.
What I love about it, man.
Insane
He's
in the membrane.
Mentally retarded.
Insane in the membrane.
That's what's so fucking fantastic.
Insane in the brain!
Steve, you have
Thank
something
you, Erica.
To say?
Not enough TNA. I've seen it. And I hate these shows when you watch it. And you watch about 20 minutes. And then the next time you try to catch the show, somehow you're catching the same 20 minutes again. So it always seemed like the same part.
TiVo, man.
Where he's training some porno lady, and the wife's not too happy with it.
Oh, really?
That part, yeah. He's like a trainer, too. He trains people. He's at, I think, three different, like, health clubs.
Four.
Oh, really?
And each of them say, hey, man, you're working out way too much.
I know. His muscles are, like, exploding, and he's got these veins. Now, when I saw him...
His head's all veiny, too.
Oh, yeah. When I saw him when he was on the, what was it, the Loop here in Chicago?
Yeah.
And I ran into him at the Loop Studio. The
guy's a midget.
He's a midget.
Is that when you went in for chunky. Kevin Matthews?
Yeah, he was still kind of, he wasn't like all built yet. He had a, you know, pretty good build, but he wasn't like he is in the TV show.
So you weren't attracted to him like you are to me?
No,
but I'm completely
I couldn't believe how goddamn short he was.
I'm chiseled.
I mean, he was still the same height as he was when he played bass as that milky white little redhead kid on the Partridge Family.
No doubt.
But he still got a voice.
Well, John, do you want to turn our attention to our top 10 list? Going from TV to movies?
Fine.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah, fine.
You don't sound enthusiastic.
Sorry, yeah, let me get my list.
You know, one of the qualities of a good podcast is for the broadcasters to sound enthusiastic.
Oh.
All right, you guys can think about it. I want to come up with a shout-out to a TV show I saw the other day.
All right, Steve's going to come up with a shout-out while you're getting ready there, John. Go ahead, Steve.
Actually, I saw a show. I didn't think too much of it before, but now the last two episodes were interesting was the show Nip Tuck on FX.
Nip Tuck. Yeah, I saw the first season, and I stopped watching it.
Well, the last two shows, I think in the very
Erica,
last show...
Erica, please, with the freaking noise in the background. I don't have the gate that tight.
The last show was interesting because they added a new doctor, and the one main doctor, Julian.
Julian, he's Christian.
Christian, he's going out with this one really hot blonde. Who's also a lesbian.
So nice.
Fighting. He's kind of playing games with one of the other...
Steve's talking with his hands with his drink in his hand. So his rocks are shaking back and forth.
So I appreciate that, but you don't have to go...
So Christian's getting a little jealous because of the other lesbian girls taking away too much from his chick.
Well, Steve, if you did listen to our podcast, you'd know that we cover Nip and Tuck because we mentioned the parent teachers, the Parent Television Council, and they have a current campaign against Nip and Tuck now.
Well, last episode they had, there was some frat... pledging thing where they super glued two guys' cheeks to this guy's butt. So as part of the, I guess one of the doctors was a pledge or I don't know, was a in that frat. So he went to that fraternity and had to, whatever, cut those guys' cheeks off that guy's butt.
What season is that?
Nice.
Well, you know, I heard
what happened after that was the two doctors went back to the fraternity for a party, and then they,
they shtup some coeds?
Well, they actually showed these two coeds giving the doctors blowjobs.
That's hot, man.
Right? And their head, the girls' heads are, this is like FX cable
television. Oh, no doubt.
And the girls' That's why heads the, are bobbing
the
up
The Parent
and
Television Council is so upset.
And they're showing the girls' heads bobbing, and the doctors are looking at each other, and the one doctor, I think, has something for the other doctor and was making that guy
What are you saying, man? He's queer?
I think the one doctor might be. Did you
the
see
new
it?
Doctor? Is he a new doctor?
He's a new partner.
All right. I haven't seen that guy yet. But, you know, in the second season...
But Christian banged his wife, didn't he?
Yeah. And the son banged his mother.
His own mother?
Yeah, in the second season.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was having an affair
you
with his own mother.
You got to get up on the mic, Erica.
Come on, man.
What
get up on the mic.
What season are they on now?
Three or four.
Is it three? Yeah. I only saw season one, I think.
Yeah.
That's why the PTC is so outraged, because the son banged his mom. Excuse me.
That's gross.
All right, well, switching to movies. Are you ready, John?
I'm ready.
Now, a couple of podcasts ago, we had a top 10 list of the top 10 songs John and Scott... it was episode 21,
yes,
where we talked about John and Scott's top 10 songs since 1980. And we've brought that format back, and we're going to talk about the top 10 movies according to John and Scott. Now, these are not the top 10 movies of all time according to John and Scott. These are the top 10 movies that we can watch over and over and over and over again. So if we were stranded on a desert island, these are the top 10 DVDs we would want with our DVD player and our plasma TV, because we'd be on an island with no electricity. Watch over and over again.
That's not how I looked at it, though.
Oh, it's not?
My criteria was any movie that I could watch on regular TV, even edited with the commercials, knowing I had the DVD and I watched it anyway on
TV.
That's
actually what you guys said in 21.
Is it? Well, yeah. I must have not been paying attention. Yeah. You know, my wife accuses me of that all the time.
Well,
not paying attention.
I do,
so
too.
Your coworker. Oh.
Pretty much everybody, then. Well, you know, when I was in high school, they used
Scott
to call me Space Cadet.
No.
Hey, watch this.
He serves his self-interest.
July 2nd, because it's the
same day as
Lindsay Lohan's birthday.
I just told him that today.
So Eric
Scott's
and Lindsay Lohan have something
listening
in common.
We all know that.
Just watch Scott play bass on... next to you.
Hey, I disagree with the self-absorbed. I will go back to my high school days when I was called a space cadet.
You
really?
Are totally
what it is.
Self-absorbed.
It's not self-absorbed.
Earth to Scott.
That's the observation that people have, but that is not what's going on. What's going on is I'm not absorbing in myself. I'm absorbing in... very intellectual things like
yourself.
Philosophy, physics, why am I here, where am I going next? Where is John and Scott going next? That's what I'm all about. I'm all about learning, education. Fuck y'all.
All right, we're going to get down with our segment... Top 10 movies John and Scott can watch anytime. And I think Scott should go first with number 10.
All right. Well, I still can't decide. I have two movies in my number 10 position, so I'm just going to briefly mention both of them. You want to play the clip 11? Go ahead with any of the 11s.
Clip 11?
Any of the 11s. Go ahead with any of those clips.
Any of the 11s.
Any of the 11s.
All right.
See if our guests can guess.
The musical growth rate of this band cannot even be charted. They are treading water in a sea of retarded sexuality and bad poetry.
That's nitpicking, isn't it?
And it's from This Is Spinal Tap 1984. Spinal Tap, the world's loudest band, is chronicled by hack documentary Marty DeBerg on what proves to be a fatal tour. And, yeah. So this one in... number 10, go ahead and play something from number 10. Song remains the same. Which Spinal Tap actually satire in their movie, Jimmy Page? I couldn't decide between the two, but I can watch these movies at any time, any day, any hour, over and over and over again. I can watch them 10 times in a row.
Didn't you get to live rent-free for 1 month? Because of this movie?
I did get to live rent-free 1 month because of Song Remains the Same. Because the landlord of 2T2 said, dude, man, I wish I could watch Song Remains the Same. And I said, dude, man, I can hook you up with Song Remains the Same in 2 minutes. And he said, dude, if you can hook me up with Song Remains the Same in 2 minutes, I will ignore your rent payment for the next month. So I ran into my room, I got my Song Remains the Same DVD, I brought it out, put it in the DVD player, didn't have to pay rent for the next month.
You didn't have a DVD back then.
It's 2T2.
Laser disc.
No, 2T2 was DVD. 2T2 DVD.
How long ago was that?
I don't know.
It was a laser disc.
It wasn't. I did have a laser disc, but this was DVD.
Nice.
So which one? It's 10.
I don't know. I can watch, I love them both.
Zeppelin.
And have you caught it in the middle?
I've
if you cut it in the middle on HBO and you could continue watching it?
Yeah, either one. But I have seen Song Remains the Same at least 30 times. At least. And 20 of those were at a theater,
I've seen
a movie
it twice.
Theater. I used to go with T.P. Tony Paul all the time. Actually, Steve and I went once with Dan, who was totally hammered. Remember he carried on a conversation with a woman's breasts?
Yeah.
And she slapped him?
Right.
But this is... Okay,
when did it come out in the theaters?
What?
When was it in the theaters?
It was in the theaters in 1976, yeah. But they used to run
midnight movies
of Song Remains the Same.
I was only
Mount Prospect
then.
Theater.
Right. I was, who knows how old I was, but midnight
a
movies.
Lot older.
We used to go to Woodfield.
I've seen it.
And they used to crank the sound.
Oh, yeah.
Completely full blast. And
I saw the wall.
The place was packed.
Really?
And
oh, yeah.
People smoking pot. And
yeah,
the,
no
it
doubt.
It was like you were really
at the concert.
And the only thing I have against Song Remains the Same is a frickin' opening where Peter Grant is like a gangster and he mows everybody down. Yeah, fast forward through that. And I used to have the VHS tape, and it was a real pain in the ass to fast forward through that. But then when you get the DVD, it's like boom, 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 there I am. I'm at Rock and Roll, Led Zeppelin. Let's get it on, baby. Let's get it on, Jimmy Page. No doubt.
Yeah.
No acid?
No.
While watching those?
No.
No.
You?
Never?
You?
Both.
Wow, both acid
and the weed.
No.
The weed. No?
Song Remains the Same at the wall.
Oh, sweet. Okay, it's cool.
And then Spinal Tap, can't stop watching that either. Where they actually make fun of Jimmy Page in that movie.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Nigel, you had to pick.
Nigel Tufnel.
So those tied for my number 10
come on,
position.
If you had to pick.
If I had to pick, I'd go with Song Remains the Same.
All right. Can I go?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here's one for my number 10.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I know what that is.
Yeah. That's Die Hard. With 1988.
No, it's just Die Hard.
Die Hard from 1988.
Right.
Directed by John McTiernan. The movie is based on a 1979 novel by Roderick Thorpe titled Nothing Lasts Forever. And I thought that was a pretty awesome movie. They show the cops as like Keystone Cops. I thought it was pretty funny. And I don't know why I can watch that over and over again, but for one reason is I think Bruce Willis is pretty goddamn funny in that movie.
He's a funny guy.
He is... When he's crawling through the ventilation system, and he flicks the lighter on, he goes, now I know what it feels like to be a TV dinner. I don't know why, but that was the funniest goddamn thing I ever heard. But I thought the movie is just fantastic.
That is a fabulous movie.
Here's a little bit of German trivia. Although the true reason for the change has not yet been made public, it is a strong guess that the German synchronization producers felt uncomfortable about the idea of German terrorists, especially since there had been activities of German terrorists. Most notable, notorious, were the actions of the Rote Army Franken, Red Army Fraction. They say Fraction. Red Army Fraction, short RAF, between 1970 and 1998. So what they did was they changed them to Irish terrorists.
What?
For the German adaptation of the movie.
Oh,
because it's
see.
Hans.
So
Hans
they dubbed it in?
Gruber. Yeah, they dubbed him in, and he's, I don't know what his name was, but they turned him into Irish terrorists. But that was my favorite. That's a movie that literally... actually springboarded this topic for me because every time I watch it on TBA or whatever, the one...
TBS?
Yeah, the one they show, or USA, they show the action movies for men on the weekends. Die Hard is always one of those movies, and they edit the shit out of it, not the blood and gore, but, you know, just the yippee-ki-yay motherfucker and all that. But I have the DVD, and I never go and get it and watch it. I watch it, and I'll watch it, and I'll watch it. And when we go, like, on our flights to Amsterdam, one of the movies I pick is Die Hard, and I download it to my portable video player.
And there you have it.
So that's my number 10.
One of my honorable mentions is Die Hard with a Vengeance. I like that one better than the original.
Because of had Samuel
L.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it had some riddles.
Yeah.
All right, so my number 9.
Is your drink empty, Stever?
I'm okay.
Oh, okay, guess. Let's just chit-chat while I'm trying to focus.
Well, I already choked on your drink.
3 seconds. I'm trying to focus on my number 9.
Wipe that stupid-looking grin off your face, or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull fuck you.
Play another clip, man.
Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister.
Play another one.
Hold on, hold on.
Because this is one of our...
Who the fuck said that? Who's the slimy little communist shit twinkle toe cocksucker down here who just signed his own death warrant?
So, my number 9 is Full Metal Jacket from 1987.
Really?
Yes.
Green, what is that button on your body armor? A peace symbol, sir.
I love this line.
I don't remember, sir. What is that you've got written on your helmet? Born to kill, sir. You write "Born to Kill" on your helmet, and you wear a peace button.
Is that kind
of
a sick joke?
Was that supposed to be some kind of sick joke? No, sir. What is it supposed to mean? I don't know, sir. You don't know very much, do you? No, sir. You better get your head and your ass wired together, or I will take a giant shit on you. Yes, sir. Now answer my question, or you'll be standing tall before the man.
The man.
I think I was trying to suggest something about the duality of man, sir.
The what?
The duality of man, the Jungian thing, sir.
Whose side are you on, son?
Our side, sir. Love your country. Yes, sir.
Is he talking about Jung? Jungian?
Yin Yang.
Come on in for the big win. Yes, sir.
Son, all I've ever asked of my Marines is for them to obey my orders as they would the word of God. We
Go
are
on.
Here to help the Vietnamese because inside every gook there is an American trying to get out. It's a hardball world, son. We've got to try to keep our heads until
That's
this
a great line.
Goes over. Aye, aye, sir.
That's sweet.
All right, so Full Metal Jacket, this is one of the highest-rated movies on IMDb. It makes my number 9. And I could watch if it was... There actually are two movies here. There's the Boot Camp, and then there's where they actually go on tour.
Yeah.
And if the movie was just the Boot Camp, it would be my number 1 movie. But when they go on tour, it's still a great movie, but it just doesn't... I get too goddamn depressed. Especially with the sniper, and he's got to blow the sniper away and all. But it's actually two movies in one. All right, so some interesting trivia. Did you know who was originally set to play Private Joker, who was portrayed by Matthew Modine?
Don't tell me. Nicolas Cage.
Anthony Michael Hall.
No way.
No doubt was originally set to play... But he was fired for objecting to Stanley Kubrick's perfectionist style of directing.
Wow.
I think that would have been good.
And one of the scenes was cut from the movie because it showed a group of soldiers playing soccer. The scene was cut because the shot revealed that we're not using a soccer ball but a human head.
Oh, by the way, that was Erica popping open a soft drink.
Again. Trying to disrupt.
No, that's the first, actually.
The genuine spontaneity of Total Talk Nonsense.
Do you want this? It's really good.
Much, if not all, John, of R. Lee Ermey's dialogue was improvised. Did you know that?
He was a gunny sergeant or
while
something.
While filming the opening scene where he disciplines Private Cowboy, he says Cowboy is the type of guy that would have sex with another guy and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around. Stanley Kubrick immediately yelled, "Cut!" and went over to R. Lee Ermey to ask him, "What the hell is a reach around?" Stanley Kubrick reshot the scene, telling R. Lee Ermey to keep the line in after he heard the definition.
That's fabulous.
Isn't that hot?
Yeah.
So Full Metal Jacket is my number 9.
Nice.
Here's my number 9.
Oh, shit! What are we supposed to do if we have to take a piss?
Please.
You gotta go. You gotta go.
Oh, my God. You're not urinating in here, man.
Don't talk. Don't talk. It makes her crawl back up.
You whip it out and you're dead before the first drop hits the floor.
You're pretty sexy when you get angry.
I have no idea what that's from.
Well,
Easy, come
on. You're going to beat me up.
I like it. Good movie. Classic.
The Breakfast Club.
Oh, The Breakfast Club. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, I know, but it's in my list.
Music.
It's my list, in my list. Did you know
it's Maine North?
It's number two as one of the greatest movies of the 80s for chicks by Vanessa Hellenberg, who's you know, one of those amateur film critics. Before filming, Ally Sheedy, The Basket Case, and Molly Ringwald, The Princess, were to switch roles, and Emilio Estevez, the athlete, was to play the criminal. John Cusack was one of the finalists for the criminal. Judd Nelson got the role, and Nicolas Cage, Redford, as well. Rick Moranis was originally cast for the role of Carl, the janitor. One of the themes of the movie is when you grow up, your heart dies, a main point in The Breakfast Club. And in fact, in most teen movies, is that being young... What the fuck?
That was Erica pouring a drink into my glass. Jesus H.
Anyways, high school is viewed as the pinnacle of vitality, and the rest of life is a slow fade toward an, toward an inevitable end. So, I'm getting a low battery here.
Uh-oh.
But anyways, did you know that movie was shot? Shermer High School was actually Maine North. But Maine Shermer North. High School was named after the road that John Hughes' school that he went to.
Where did he go?
He went to Glenbrook.
Isn't that outstanding how John can continue his diatribe on... what the hell movie are we talking about?
Tribe?
Whatever. I'm taking artistic license. And he can plug his computer into the power source so his battery doesn't run out.
Oh, and there we get the buzzing sound.
Talk about doing two things at once.
But anyways, they shot that entire movie, not entirely, but about 99% of it inside the gymnasium of Maine North High School, where they built the set.
Wow.
That entire set of the library was in there. And there is no punchline to the joke where Bender is crawling, you know, in the rafters, and he says...
he should have said, I feel like a TV dinner.
No, he wasn't crawling in the ventilation system.
Bruce Willis said.
He was crawling above the drop ceiling.
Drop ceiling, right.
And he actually drops. And but while he's doing it, he's telling a joke. A woman walks into a bar with a 2-foot salami under one arm and a poodle under the other arm. And the bartender asks her, and he just goes through the roof, and you never know what the punchline is. So I've
Do you
searched,
know what the punchline
no,
is?
No, I've searched the internet high and low, and everybody
there
says
is
there
no punchline.
Is no punchline.
Wow.
So that was my number nine, The Breakfast Club, 1985.
How are we doing on time?
We're at 43 minutes, so I think we need to continue this.
Continue. And we will come back with part three, and John will, because we switch off, he'll continue with his number eight.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be right back with John and Scott. Total
Eric is on the
nonsense.
Phone again. No,
and
not.
we will continue the top 10 movies that we could watch
over and over and over,
over
again.
And over and over and over again. Okay, we'll be right back. John
Eric
and Scott.
Is not speaking to you.